OMG. It's Evan and Tiki here on the start of NBA free agency and NHL free agency. Sean Morris, Tiki Barber, Loogie Rosie along the way. Tiki, happy Hartenstein Day to you.
Isn't it Hartenstein?
Hartenstein?
Stein. We're trying to figure it out.
Stein. Does anybody in Oklahoma City know how to say it?
No. No, they won't. And they'll mess it up a million times. But good for Isaiah Hartenstein, whatever you say his last name. But it doesn't matter. Because as Josh Hart said, he's dead to you.
He's dead to me.
He's dead to you now. I feel for the Knicks because they're losing a big piece of what got them deep into the postseason this year, and I think his game, his two man game with Jalen Brunson was just awesome to watch. It was fun to watch. It was almost guaranteed to be successful. But at the end of the day, we know what this is always about. It's about the dough.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear, I'll take a pay cut to play for a team that I love and it's going to get me a. Nobody cares about that. He went because of the money, and I don't blame him. You're going to miss him, but it's hard to be upset with iHeart.
I don't think any Knick fan will hold ill will towards him. Obviously, though, when it comes down to iHeart, the thing that impresses me the most right now when looking at the three-year, $87 million deal he got is that this wasn't a deal where he went to, you know, the Chicago Bulls or insert random team here. Isaiah Hartenstein has now signed a deal with a team that provides him a better chance to win a championship next year than the team he was on. Hey, and the odds right now in Vegas agree. The Oklahoma City Thunder are bigger favorites to win an NBA Finals and with Isaiah Hartenstein there than the Knicks. And I think that's a credit to iHeart. And he's finding himself in a good spot, making a ton of money. And Tiki, frankly, I think you look at that, and I think Knick fans in all their glory and all the hoopla of adding Mikal Bridges have vastly underestimated their holes as they watch iHeart walk out the door.
Maybe you're right, because now this puts a lot of pressure on Mitchell Robinson to be a scorer. Right? Because think about what iHeart did for this team. It wasn't just being a pretty good defender. It was being a scorer. It was
and his passing in the paint. He was a good facilitator.
100%. He was a complete player. And I hear what you're saying, but I know the Oklahoma City Thunder are good. I know they have a good roster, obviously.
Number one seed in the West.
I mean,
SGA.
Gilgeous Alexander, right? And Wiggins is on that team. Aaron Wiggins, I should say, is on that team. There's some good players on that team, but nobody nobody I look at that says he's a superstar other than SGA, and iHeart's going to make that guy better. I think iHeart has a specific skill set, and a player like Shea is not going to be, I don't know, depending upon iHeart to create shots for him.
Perhaps.
Like Jalen Brunson did. I think he was in a perfect situation, but again, this all comes down to money, and I get it. And I'm not even talking about that. He was in a perfect situation to excel with the New York Knicks, and now I have no idea what his role is going to look like in Oklahoma City. It could be great.
Right.
But who knows what it's going to look like, to be honest with you.
And obviously that's for Oklahoma City Thunder fans and Oklahoma City Sports Radio to figure out.
Right.
We'll obviously tackle the Knick issue on this. I'll tell you what iHeart reminds me a lot of as a center, if you could live with this apples and oranges comparison, reminds me a lot of Jalen Brunson signing with the Knicks, where maybe the best is yet to come for iHeart, and it looks like a steal from the center position. But ultimately, here's my problem with the makeup. In the Knicks, you know, maneuvering of money here and forming the Villanova Knicks, you know, Mitchell Robinson, anybody think he is going to now stay healthy and then also fully clicked offensively? That's an injury concern. I understand why Tommy, you, and every other Knicks fan wanted OG Anunoby back. That is a major injury concern.
I would say major.
He's got chronic issues.
Yeah, he's had varying issues. I won't say major.
You got to stay on the floor when you sign for 5 years, $270 million, Teak. And the Knicks have prioritized all this while letting, you know, a heart and soul guy, iHeart walk out the door. I just think the Knicks are not this complete perfect picture that everybody is waving the flag for. And this move today, while everybody understands it and it's financially driven, I think the Knicks losing iHeart, gaining Mikal Bridges, I'm not so sure they are light years better than they were a year ago when everybody's healthy.
No, you're right. And I think at some point, maybe this becomes an offensive issue. But think about the offense of this Knicks team. Ihart was excelling offensively the way he was because he needed to be, right? With full health of this Knicks team. You talk about Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle, yep. Right? There's scoring available. Like, Ihart's offensive uptick was only important for the Knicks. Not only, but it was more important for the Knicks because they lacked other scoring options.
Right, they were down to so many injuries.
Right, they had so many guys that were banged up. We're not even talking about the big Ragu, who's going to hopefully increase his efficiency and production. Like, scoring doesn't, to me, feel like the issue for the New York Knicks. It's going to be, who can we consistently get to play in the paint and play defense?
Yeah.
And when you look at it, right, Ihart served the role when everybody was hurt. But if everybody's healthy, would he still have been needed to serve that role? And I honestly think that was the calculus, right? I think Leon Rose was thinking about, right, what should we offer him or what can we offer him and how important is it, especially, you know, with everybody else healthy and with our other priorities more paramount than keeping Ihart here.
I think, to me, when I look at the Knicks, everybody who says, well, you can't assume guys are going to get hurt. I think you're at a point in time with Mitchell Robinson, even Julius Randle's had his share of injuries, and then obviously throw in OG Anunoby. I don't think you can also assume health. And to me, losing Ihart does more than this. When you look at what the Sixers just did, adding Paul George. Now, granted, he's got to be healthy. Joel Embiid's got to be healthy. That is a foe in the Eastern Conference that while everybody flexed and took care of them as the Sixers were down and beat up,
right,
they are, in theory, going to get better. How does a team with Mitchell Robinson and who knows what, maybe you bring back Precious Achiuwa behind him, how are they going to handle some of the bigs? Giannis, if he's healthy, if they have to deal with a team like the Bucks in the paint.
Right.
Not that Ihart was, you know, basically Alonzo Mourning in his prime, but I am very worried about the Knicks basically lack of acknowledging needing size and needing that importance of scoring in the paint and playing with all of their what they're going to do on the wing here with Bridges and OG Anunoby. They've basically robbed Peter to pay Paul. I'm sorry, Tiki. I think Knicks fans, as much as we're in the la-la paradise, have to understand this is now going to be a much more difficult Eastern Conference.
Right.
And this isn't, I would have rather, you know, found a way, ditch Deuce McBride. You have the depth there. You have so many guards on the team. I think they're going to rue the day that they let Ihart walk out the window.
Well, I mean, obviously, Sims is going to be asked to play a more important role. I don't see Precious coming back. I mean, they let
maybe
him walk. He's a good player, and you know, but who knows? But that is where it is. I think ultimately, though, it gives them the opportunity, because I'm gonna position it as an opportunity to play differently. And before last year, I wouldn't have thought that Tom Thibodeau was a coach who would adjust. He was just set in his ways. He's doing things one way and one way only. Last year, you saw him do things differently, right? You saw him maximize and develop the skill of a lot of different floor combinations. And so I think they're going to play small a lot. I think that could benefit them. Now, maybe this becomes a we have to outscore you type of thing, but I think they have the scores to do that. I think with Julius Randle healthy, they'll be able to play some more bully basketball, which they didn't do a ton of. It was a lot of finesse basketball. And so you just have to hope that, you know, Mitch stays healthy and that Jericho Sims gives you more minutes than he has to, and maybe he evolves. Who knows? I mean, he's 25, almost 26 years old. So he still has growth, you would think. He hasn't gotten a ton of minutes. But they had to make a decision. And the decision to overpay Ihart was not something that I think made sense to them, especially if they don't need his scoring next year, which I don't think they will.
Well, as the dust settles here on what has already been a frenzy of a first day of free agency, and we'll get to Tommy in a second, 888-808-1019, where do the Knicks now rank in the Eastern Conference? I think after the Bridges trade, where everybody thumped their chest walking out of Citi Field that night, everybody was chanting, let's go Knicks, and thinking championship. I have to be real, Tiki, and this isn't me trying to be a cold water, and I'm not even going to pull the IBO stunt that Evan always likes to pull. Boston Celtics are the defending champs. I'll be for sale right now, the defending champs. Milwaukee, if Giannis and Dame are healthy.
That's a big if.
Of course, but the Knicks have big ifs on the injury front.
Yeah, but less, I feel like, real ifs.
I don't know, man. Especially with the minutes Thibs plays them.
Yeah, but this year felt flukish. It felt, I mean, anything that could have gone wrong went wrong for them health-wise.
All at once,
you just lost everybody at the wrong time. and Randall being the most important one.
But he's been banged up in his career.
Yeah, but I mean, I just felt like this year was so just disadvantaged because of the untimely injuries. Yet they still went into the second round of the playoffs.
They did.
Right? They still found ways to achieve. And it's because they have a star scorer. And they have, I don't know, they have consistency. And they have
Brunson is going to keep them in the mix at all times.
100%. Like, it feels like they have players that can turn over and take over games in certain moments. And so with health, I think you had to make a decision. And that's what the offseason is really all about. It is, what are our priorities and what tough decisions are we going to have to make? And paying iHeart would have felt good because it's basically running it back to basically the same thing we did last year. But at the same time, it's just they couldn't do it, right? And without moving more money and most likely Deuce, you couldn't do it. And so I applaud the hard decision they had to make. And look, iHeart, yeah, is he in a better spot? Possibly. Are they winning out there? I don't know.
I don't know that the Knicks are either.
Right?
Look, I'll be the bearer of bad news. I think the Knicks, at best right now, are the fourth best team in the East. Doesn't mean with injuries to the Bucks and Sixers they can't rise above and make a run.
Yeah, but
their work is cut out.
But I also feel like in the East, it just feels like, just get there.
Oh, right? I agree. Everybody who I rank above them is beatable.
Right.
No doubt about it.
Get there. Maybe the Boston Celtics won't be because now they've won a championship. They're actually loaded when you think about it, especially if Kristaps comes back.
And did you see how much money Derek White got? I know. You wish you were a basketball player?
Derek White, who Evan was talking about the whole offseason, postseason, got broke off.
$125.9 million deal.
I know. So, other than the Celtics, I feel like any of these teams, the Knicks playing at their best and healthy, can beat them. So we'll figure this out more as we get closer to the season. But the issue at hand today was iHeart absolutely necessary for the Knicks to continue what they had started doing? And my answer is no. I give them credit for taking the money, running across to the West Coast or close to the West Coast to Oklahoma City, middle of the country, and getting paid. But the Knicks made the right decision in my mind. They didn't need to overspend for an asset that they're not necessarily going to need, especially on the offensive side.
Now, before we take your calls at 888-808-1019, the Knicks Pope is in the building. That who waves to all the Knicks fans at Citi Field and arenas alike all throughout the tri-state whenever Knicks news breaks. And I don't think it would be right to take a phone call after Isaiah Hartenstein is gone to Oklahoma City without Tommy Lugauer addressing the masses. Tommy, the forum is yours.
Let me first start with my fellow Knicks fans. I told you
Did
this.
Did you prepare this?
No, this is right off the top of the head, and that's why I'm the future.
It sounded like you were giving a presidential primary or
Well, then I'd be arguing about my golf game and if I hit the ball far in the Shawnee.
We might need Tommy.
The Knicks, I told you last week, had a surplus of dudes and dogs. When the music stopped, the chairs, they would only be enough for a few people.
Yep.
There would be a dude or dog that would be left behind. iHeart took the bag. Took the extra boxes of ZD. We wish him well in OKC. The Knicks have dudes. The Knicks have dogs. The Knicks will do damage. I trust the process. I trust Leon Rose. I trust Tibbs. And I will walk into the midst of Avalon and follow them because I trust what they're building with this organization. So that's to my fellow Knicks fans. Now to Sean, who of course, is part of the coalition.
Where's Avalon?
Avalon? Isn't it like a club that's... I don't know. What is Avalon?
It's from Step Brothers. All right, rent the movie. Do the homework tonight. That's number one. Number two.
It's that one, too.
Sean Marash, who's in the coalition of Knick haters, of course, led by Evan Roberts.
Are you in the coalition?
Oh, he's major in the coalition.
I'm a donator.
He writes them a check at the end of every single year. I don't even know where to begin with all the stuff that you said in the open here that was completely wrong here. You said Oklahoma City has a better chance of winning the championship.
Sportsbooks agree.
A banged-up Knicks team went further than Oklahoma City last year in the playoffs. That's number one. So don't give me that.
Oklahoma City got better.
Okay. All right. And so did the Knicks because they got Bridges and they brought back Anunoby, who was hurt in the Pacers series. Now you're going to give me Paul George to the Sixers. Paul George is a loser. He's always hurt, so he's in the right city. Evan was pushing Paul George on the Knicks. That's what all you need to know because Evan loves to push push the rat poison and the pills on the Knicks because he wants to see them lose. OG Anunoby was the top priority because, check the record, they were as good as any team in the league when OG Anunoby was on the floor. Then you bring in Mikal Bridges, the final Infinity Stone, a guy like OG Anunoby that could play defense, a great two-way player.
Great.
The Knicks, big, yes, great. The
Boy,
Knicks,
using that word.
I was told 3 years ago by Evan Roberts that, or 2 years ago, that Bridges was the best player in New York.
And we were wrong.
Okay. Well, no, you're mad now because Mikal Bridges was checked out last
year
because he was playing in front.
It's almost impossible to evaluate him because he was playing with nobody. Surprisingly, it was always full over there.
Well, it was an arena full of tourists.
Right, whatever. It was always full over there. But so I can't say he was playing in front of nobody because he was playing in front of people. But the team had no chance
to win. There was no atmosphere. Right. There's no Net fans. We know that. It's ridiculous. It's at Broadway show or go see a Net game. So Bridges is the missing piece. He's a great two-way player. And defense was their biggest struggle. They got that with Bridges. They got that with Anunoby. Whether they bring back Precious Achiuwa, whoever they add here, I trust Tibbs to coach him up. And I trust Leon Rose to identify a player that fits this system, a dude, a dog, somebody to bring in here to bring the Knicks to the championship. We have a date with the Boston Celtics. Sean, you're invited. Tiki, you're invited. And I cannot wait.
888-808-1019. Knick fan already in denial, pointing to injuries with Paul George, but not OG Anunoby. Evan and Tiki on the Fan. Couple quick hitters for you. Ranger fans, there is a move. The Rangers have added a right wing, presumably, to play with Chris Kreider and Mika Zibanejad. They trade for Riley Smith from the Pittsburgh Penguins. He's making 5 years, $5 million AAV, but 25% of the salary will be retained by the Penguins. A 2027 second rounder goes to the Penguins along with a 2025 fifth rounder. Riley Smith did win the Stanley Cup 2 years ago with Vegas, where he scored 27 goals for him 2 years ago, had a down year last year. But nonetheless, the Rangers, who felt like they were a little bit asleep as big contracts were handed out left and right earlier today in free agency, even though technically it hadn't begun yet, tampering notwithstanding, the Rangers do add a wing with a little bit of championship grit. Whether that ends up being a big move for him or more to come, more to be seen. Now, today, July 1st, 37 years ago, 24-hour sports radio station launched. You may have heard of it, WFAN. And in the ever-changing landscape of sports media, podcasts, apps, make sure you download our free Odyssey app today. We were reminded by a New York Knick that the power of WFAN is still so strong to this day. Because Tiki Barber, when iHeart left, there was one heart left on the Knicks, and his name is Josh. And he had one response. You are dead to me, Zay. I never liked you anyways, but congrats on the bag. The first thing that Josh Hart tweeted about iHeart leaving was, you are dead to me.
Good luck. You're dead to me.
You're lying to Saquon.
I know.
Now, I don't think iHeart is going to be all upset that Josh Hart said that, but Tiki, they're listening.
I mean, maybe. I just made it popular. I think it's been a saying for decades, years. I don't know where I first heard it, but it's been around forever. I just repopularized it for athletes. I think that's the thing. Maybe you never hear it in athletics. Lamar Jackson was saying it every time someone left after the season. It's kind of awesome.
Well, think about it. iHeart, for all intents and purposes, is the first, let's call it like relatively well-known New York athlete to leave since Saquon when you said that.
Right.
And our first shot to have that happen, his own teammate says, you're dead to me. So I think that is now the new thing. It started with you and Saquon. Anytime somebody leaves this town, you are dead to us.
You're dead to us. But he said congratulations on the bag.
Yeah, he did say. Well, because
right,
you might have heard this, Tiki. It's almost like he said it tongue-in-cheek.
Which part?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the problem.
Very curious to see if Ryan Clark has any issues with what Josh Hart said. 888-808-1019. Ray in Brooklyn. Ray, what's up? You're on the Fan.
Sean, Tiki, it's a pleasure. Listen, Sean, I like you for being a Yankees fan and a Giants fan. I don't know how the hell you become a loser Nets fan, but, you know.
I 100% agree,
you
Ray.
You live in Brooklyn, Ray. Show a little pride.
They weren't there when Ray was growing up.
No. You know what, Tiki? Loyalty is just about everything in this world.
Right.
And people from the sports arena and from, you know, my neighborhood in Brooklyn know this. So when the Nets came to Brooklyn, I had to hate them because I bleed orange and blue. And
Ray,
that's the way
Ray,
it looks.
Ray, that's embarrassing to Brooklyn. If Biggie was alive today, he'd be a Net fan.
No, he would not.
But you know what? That,
there's
that's
no
okay
chance.
Big, that's okay because Big, we, I still got Big Pun. I still would have had Big Pun, so I'm good.
Good
but, but anyway, check it out, guys. Look, Loogie said, on behalf of Loogie, IBOTE Barber, and all Knicks fans, I'm going to take you to school, so don't take it personal. Mm. Look, there's no, like, everything you said so much, it's hard to come up with, you know, what to defend first. But anyway, as far as Mikal Bridges now sucking just because you're mad he left your team, remember, two years ago, the guy averaged 26 a game, and before the season last year, you and Evan declared he was better than Jalen Brunson.
Ray, nobody said nobody said he sucked. He is just not a premier player that should ever get five first-round picks fetched for him. He's not an all-star.
Okay, but those first-round picks are basically early second-round picks, and you know that.
Maybe,
right. So,
maybe.
Yeah, there's no real value in those picks.
Unless Jalen Brunson keeps wrestling and hurting his hand, who knows?
And guys, listen, and as far as being fourth, are you crazy? Milwaukee is finished. Giannis has won his first.
So the guy who actually does have the championship hardware is an MVP is finished. But the
Nets, as a Nets fan, you were screaming 3 years ago that it was a fake championship because he injured Kyrie Irving.
And a championship nonetheless.
So it doesn't matter. Look, we see that these guys play no defense. Doc Rivers is a choke artist coach. Forget about them. It's the Knicks, it's Boston, and it's Philly, and Joel Embiid. The Knicks have dogs. These guys have China dogs.
These guys have
Paul George, who only played 70-something games because it was a contract year. He'll probably play 30 games again this year. And Embiid is a lovable loser. I mean, the guy can't get out of the second round. He's a
Oh, I love that, Ray.
Ray, thanks
appreciate
for the
call. Lovable loser.
Yeah, you Knicks fans are hot stuff today. I can tell it's going to be a fun day on the phone.
He could say that about the 76ers because you beat them this year.
Right, no,
you
I agree.
You dominated them, especially in their own home.
And don't make me defend the 76ers, but first of all, on the Doc Rivers
would
front.
Would you defend the 76ers?
No, I would. I don't want to, but I want to say this. I don't want to hear phone calls today. We're going to hear them. We're going to listen to them. About Paul George and Joel Embiid and their injuries, and then you guys gloss over it how much you need OG Anunoby. Chronic injuries, and you just gave him a 5-year, 200. Why are we acting like he's healthy all the time? And yes, it was terrible what happened to Julius Randle. This isn't his first go around with injuries. The Knicks are coached by a guy, and we all love the fact that he plays them high minutes, but that is meshing with injury-prone players. That is not a recipe for NBA Finals success. And if you are going to rain on the Doc Rivers parade, I get it. We've all seen him choke, time management, everything. We are on stop number three for Tom Thibodeau, who I do think continues to evolve as a head coach. Where are his big, massive playoff successes?
See, my thing is this. You could still... both things could be true. Paul George, Embiid are injury-prone, and so is Anunoby, and so is Mitchell Robinson.
Okay, then we're in agreement
there. Both could be absolutely true. I would have given every single penny that OG Anunoby got because the Knicks are a different basketball team when he's on the floor. And the Mikal Bridges stuff, you keep bringing up the draft picks, you could put that on toilet paper because it's not going to matter because the Knicks are going to be good every single year. They're going to be good every single year, so it doesn't matter.
I remember saying that when we traded.
And Mikal Bridges, you talk about chemistry. The Knicks are going to have the best chemistry in the NBA this season because they have the Nova Knicks, and they had the final Infinity Stone. So now they have the great chemistry.
Enough with the Infinity Stone.
But he is. He is.
What is an Infinity Stone?
Come on, man. It's from Avengers and Thanos. You can't be this. You can't be this not cultured.
Yeah.
I've never seen Avengers. I don't know what Thanos is.
Tiki, this is why I'm the future.
Exactly. You don't know pop culture.
I know. How do you not know Thanos?
I never saw Avengers.
Big,
I'm aware.
Massive,
yes, Captain America is in Avengers.
Snap your fingers and make 3/4 of the world disappear.
It's the number one grossing movie in history.
I am not hating on Avengers. I'm not a superhero.
You're just anti-Marvel. That's what that is.
I'm not a superhero guy. Not a comic book guy. I'll take those Batmans, but I'm not a superhero guy.
Oh, so you're a DC guy. I see.
What is DC? The Capitol?
The DC Comics. Versus Marvel Comics.
So the two I like are Batman, Spider-Man.
Yes. Spider-Man's Marvel, but...
okay. Is he an Avenger?
Yes.
And Batman's in the Justice League with Superman, Aquaman.
And that's DC Comics.
That's like the American League, National League.
They have no canon. They're just piecing things randomly together to try to make it work.
Okay. Look at Tiki's.
Whereas
Where do
Marvel,
you have the time, by the way?
Pandemic. Every movie... in chronological order.
The busiest person I know, and you know all of these movies.
Not in release order, chronological order, so it makes sense to me.
Of course. Of course. You're unbelievable. Vernon in Atlanta. Vernon, what's up?
Tiki, Sean.
What's up,
Tiki, you're my second best running back in Giant history. I'm a fan of 54 years.
Who's number one?
Ronnie Hampton. I told you that before.
Hamp's my dude. I knew that, actually. I knew that, Vernon.
Hamp was just complimenting Rodney Hampton in the break, too.
Right.
By the way.
I love Hamp. He's the man, dude.
Yeah, he's a good guy. But listen, Teak, don't have Sean leading you the wrong path. Sean, to me, you got to dribble a basketball. How are you going to talk about what was bad? We let Hartenstein, Hitstein, whatever type of style, we let him go.
Vernon.
First and foremost.
Vernon, nobody's a better Papa Shot player at Dave and Buster's than me, so I don't want to hear that.
Papa Shot, okay. But anyway, man, listen. For one, y'all got to look at Tibbs. Tibbs got that boy Sims on the bench, and Sims is an athletic center that can do the same thing as Hartenstein and Robinson, and I think he has a better offensive game. Tibbs just never gave him a chance.
Right.
That's
the only thing we need to see, Vernon. We need to see him do it, Jericho Sims. Because, he's a big athlete. He looks good. He looks like he could play the part. But we know what it takes with Tibbs. You got to prove it to him.
Yeah.
And he didn't get the opportunity because there was too much high-stake basketball when he was needed, right, after Mitch got hurt and had surgery and all those other things. But I feel like I want to believe he can do it, Jericho Sims. But if he doesn't, then we have a problem, right?
Yeah.
Then you have a Mitchell Robinson playing way too many minutes, risking injury.
Yeah, he will get hurt if he plays too much.
And if he gets hurt, then where do you go? Because if he gets hurt, the Knicks are screwed if Jericho Sims is not the guy. You know what I mean? So,
right.
But he still has to prove it, Jericho Sims. I will give you that. There's no confidence. Nobody's going into this 2024-2025 season saying Jericho Sims is going to be, a great under Tibbs. We don't know that. You can't believe it until you see it, unfortunately.
Now, there is another team in the NBA who I also think is closer to a championship than the New York Knicks, who just made a massive, massive move. The Dallas Mavericks have signed Klay Thompson to a 3-year, $50 million deal. Now, I think Klay Thompson's clearly
on his
last leg.
He's still in the league? Yeah.
But for a team like that clearly was missing something in the NBA finals.
What's his money?
3 years, $50 million.
Okay. So
like a third of the price of Derrick Jones.
Right, right, right. But he is 34 years old, whatever he is, 33, 34 years old. And he's coming off major injury a couple years ago, and he never really felt like himself again. But
they need that championship presence.
I gotta
tell
you what, though, if Klay Thompson is not a bad third scoring option.
No,
he can stand around the perimeter and knock down three.
And he's a defender.
Right.
I mean, might get blown past a little bit on his knees now, but still a really, really good defender. Interesting. I thought for sure Klay Thompson was going to be headed to the Lakers. Didn't opt to go that way. Ends up in Dallas instead.
And now you think Oklahoma City is still getting out of the West.
Look, they have their work cut out from them, but if I am putting a chip down and I'm saying who wins a finals first, I'm taking Oklahoma City over the Knicks.
Yeah,
and any Knicks fan, if they had Oklahoma City's roster, would be saying the same thing.
Great. Klay better play defense because the lazy superstar on that team doesn't feel like playing defense because he's out of shape and disinterested in playing any kind of defense. So whether he could step it up, we'll see. And any team with Kyrie Irving, please. The other thing, Leon Rose, I trust this organization.
I can't buy into the Kyrie hate. I just can't.
It's not hate, but you know what, Teak? You had an opportunity.
It's years of frustrations, mostly for those who dealt with him in and around Brooklyn and Boston. And I get it.
But he had a chance to shut the people up in Boston, and he didn't. He didn't. He didn't step up in that series. He didn't play well in Boston. He had a chance to stick it to him. Look, he's gotten better. He's matured. He's become a leader. He got them to the finals. But he still had a chance to take that next step, and he didn't do it. That would be my hate.
I don't disagree, but he's such a great player, and it's all the other stuff that we get pissed off about. Where so many other guys, you get pissed off about how they play. You're not getting pissed off at how Kyrie plays because that dude balls, period.
You don't want to hear this. I miss Kyrie Irving on the court for my team. I do. 888-808 on the court. 888-808-1019. John in Queens. John, what's up?
Yes, good afternoon, guys. First thing first, everything that Tommy said, I agree with. Like, Tommy, need to replace with Sean. And Sean, you need to go into Tommy's role. Even though I do like you, Sean, I do follow you on Twitter.
I appreciate
it. The Knicks have built a culture over the last 3 to 4 years that I feel
that's one of the biggest things, John. That is one of the biggest things that they've done.
Exactly, Tiki. And I feel like they can find a player with a similar skill set that Hartenstein has fit perfectly on the team, and he'll do some of the little small things too.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of Philly, okay, they added Paul George, 34 years old. He gets hurt a lot. OG, some injuries as well, but OG injuries are not as severe as what Paul George has had in his career. So they have two so-called all-stars, yes. Embiid is a superstar, but he gets hurt all the time.
Yeah.
So I still feel that the Knicks have more. If you look at their depth on Philly right now, the Knicks' depth, nine players strong right now, is better than Philly's depth.
I agree with that, John, but let's not sell Maxey short here as well. Maxey can look Brunson in the eye and go shot for shot.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you. Maxey's a really good player, but I do like what Tommy said about Bridges. He fits so well on this Knicks team. He's gonna up it even a letter because he was drowning there and on the Nets. He's gonna come to the Knicks and play with so much passion. He's gonna feed off that crowd.
Oh, so he's a loser. He's a follower.
I mean, the Nets were bad, man. You know what?
He could have elevated them. They didn't have that bad of pieces around him. He didn't because he's not a number one player, and you don't need him to be number
one player. Right. Look, I'm just looking at OG's injuries over the last couple of years, and it feels like ticky tack stuff. He has a finger injury. I'm just going.
Right.
I'm going back to 2021, 2022 season. He has a finger injury. Missed 15 games. Then he has a quad injury. Misses four. Hip. The wrist injury. That's in the next season. And then another wrist injury. Missed 9 games. An ankle. Misses a game. But again, these when you see one or two game misses, that's just nothing. That's basically a rest day. They have to give you some reason that he's out. He has a leg injury. Misses a day. And then he gets to New York. And that elbow injury was the biggest issue.
Right.
18 games he missed because of that elbow issue. But that's something he'd been dealing with for years.
Well, that's what they're saying. They call it a chronic elbow problem.
Well,
That'd be my issue.
Well, I think it was probably... Did they ever clarify it? I don't think they ever did.
They never did.
But I think it was
but
probably...
But I didn't like hearing that word chronic.
But I think it was probably like a bone spur or something that catches in the joint. This happens in knees for football players a lot because you develop like... what do they call them? Like a callus, and it it breaks off, and it just gets caught in your joint, and it just locks your joint up, and it gets swelling, and it's just you got to get it taken care of eventually. He just never got it taken care of.
Right.
He gets it taken care of. He misses 18 games. He comes back. He has an injury management day, and then the elbow flares up again at the end of March. And so, everything that he's been injured for. It's either ticky tack or understandable. Like, it doesn't feel like
I get that.
He's a bad sales guy. We say this all the time, at least I used to, or around the Giants guys who just consistently were hurt. Like, Joe Montgomery was the perfect example. Good player, right?
I haven't heard that name in a long time.
He could ball a little bit. Always had, like, a quad injury. Then he'd have a hamstring injury. Then he tore his Achilles. It's like, dude, what's wrong? You just always hurt, man. And bad sales. OG doesn't feel like a bad sales guy to me.
So I think the big elephant in the room, and we are clearly not there, and I'm not calling for any, you know, job removal, but you're talking about that with OG, we bring up Mitchell Robinson, you bring up Julius Randle. The elephant in the room is, as long as you play for Tom Thibodeau, you're out there running up all those minutes. That's where I think ultimately this roster the Knicks have put together, while it fits what Thibodeau wants to do, I don't think injury-wise it fits.
Why? Because it's too old?
It's almost like all of their guys signed are the type of players that to play pay off in the playoffs need their minutes managed a little bit, and he's going to run them into the ground. And I could what was the word Evan used? It's not Nostradamus when you could see into the future. What do you call it?
Soothsayer when he's soothsayer.
Whatever he said, I can see this coming. I will tell you right now, we're sitting on July 1st, 2024. I know what the conversation is going to be in 10 months, Steve. I know what it is, and Loogie knows what it is. If and when the Knicks come up short of making an NBA Finals again, the conversation will turn to Jay Wright coaching this team.
Oh, stop.
Because you're going to run into the same injuries.
Why are you even talking that into existence?
Because I'm telling you right now, when you're paying OG, you're paying this, you will see. It'll be the end. You guys will all come to an agreement. You know what? As much as we like Thibodeau, the coach, Thibodeau doesn't mesh with injury-prone players, and we need the final Infinity Stone to win over the Knicks. Jay Wright.
All right, so Jay Wright. How the hell is Jay Wright going to know how to manage an NBA roster? an NBA.
Well, the roster's
his. Oh, I know it's his, but that's playing whatever 30-something games in college. Yeah. You know what I mean? What are we talking about?
I'm not telling you it's the right or wrong thing, but that look at how much they're going nuts for Bridges. If the injuries mount on these players that they are now, remember, this is going to be the core of the Knicks have. Mm-hmm. They're not going to have a lot of financial wiggle room because Brunson's still going to have to get paid.
Right.
That will be what the calling card becomes. It will become Thibodeau's fault for running him into the ground. I'm telling you, Lou Gehrig, you know this is true.
That will be a talking point that will be pushed, of course, by the coalition of Knick haters.
Including Sean.
Including Shawnee and the Weasel Evan Roberts. We know that. Tibbs, to an advisor, Jay Wright comes in and coaches the team. I want to bring up two things that the last caller said that I thought were really good points. One on iHeart, one on Mikal Bridges. Every single person on this Knicks team, including iHeart, got better when they got to the Knicks. That starts with Jalen Brunson and all the way down.
Fact.
So this hatred and the coping to Mikal Bridges is going to get better on the Knicks. And whoever they bring in to replace iHeart is going to get better on the Knicks because I trust Leon Rose and I trust Tibbs because they have created an environment that I could trust because every single button that Leon Rose has pushed, every single one, getting rid of Obi, bringing in Dante, bringing in OG, getting rid of Quickly, getting rid of RJ Barrett, every single move he's made has been the right move and they've coached every single person up. So I have the utmost confidence in
what's
going on.
That's the biggest thing, by the way, is it the evolution of Tibbs makes it okay to look at a player and think he doesn't fit, but then realize over time, this guy's actually the perfect fit. Right? It feels like everybody they brought in was the perfect fit. I didn't think that Dante DiVincenzo was going to be the perfect fit. It's like, he's a bench player. He's a seventh guy.
You guys are walking right into my whole point right? that I've been trying to push.
All of a sudden, he becomes like the man.
So I'm totally in lockstep with you. And this is where I will say, letting iHeart walk as weak, I should have confidence. Leon Rose has earned the benefit of the doubt with building this roster. But it's also why I think that it was silly that every Knicks fan, just because of how well they played with OG, was willing to hand over 5 years, $270 mil to him. To me, I know that's not an easy pill to swallow, and Bridges brings in that wing defense. I would have been confident in Leon Rose with that money and with that flexibility to continue to build this roster and not need to hamstring yourselves to OG.
Yeah, but let me ask you this, Sean. You make a deal, when you make the deal that brought OG here,
right,
and you give up
Quickly and Barrett,
right, RJ Barrett, Manuel Quickly, I think they Precious came in that dude, and so did Malachi Flynn. So you make that deal, you give up two really important pieces, and in your mind it's like, this is a win now move, mm-hmm. and you're like, okay, that's a good move, but still you got to be saying to yourself, this isn't just win now. Like, to give up those two young pieces, RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickly, you can't just let him walk after a year. So they almost had to re-sign him no matter what. And I think the leverage was fully in OG's camp. But at the same time, he's worth it, right? To me, he's worth it because of the difference that he makes as a player for this team.
It's a really difficult decision for an organization and a guy who makes a trade for somebody to make. But to me, I would prefer my presidents, general managers alike, and this goes for all sports, if you make a trade and you see the positives in a player, you do need to weigh the big-time negatives, and you got OG right in front of you. You saw how much better you were with him on the floor, but you also got a taste of what Toronto felt, which was missing big-time games.
Yeah.
And if you had him for another year, it's one thing. 5 years at that salary, that is going to be a difficult one to move over the next 2 years if he is missing a lot of basketball.
Why are you trying to move him?
The point is, if he's missing it and he's not helping you and you can't get anybody to help you because he's making that much money on the cap.
Yeah, I just don't think you're moving him. I think critical, or even trying to. I think he's critical to what this team is trying to do. Now, will they have to be managed? Yeah. And now, will that be outside of what Tibbs usually wants to do? Sure. But I also think Tibbs can evolve. We saw it last year. And so I think we might see another step in that evolution as it pertains to player management.
I hope so, and I think that would be the best thing for the Knicks. But I hope Loogie and every other Knicks fan out there that's calling in and thinks I'm raining on their parade today understands I don't want to hear about the injury excuse next year in the playoffs if OG's out. You guys all wanted to make your bed and lay with it with signing him long-term.
All Knicks fans understand the injury risk that goes into OG Anunoby, a guy that's gotten hurt a lot during his career. If he plays 50 games, you hope it's the right 50 games. You hope it's the games that matters. If he plays in that Indiana series, he doesn't get hurt in game two. They absolutely wipe the floor and take the Pacers to the cleaners. They swept them. I understand that.
But
there's an injury risk
right now.
Right.
Oh, no
they
doubt.
Need Anunoby. Before he got here, when they played the big-time teams, when they stepped up, when they leveled up, they would get smoked because they couldn't play any defense. And when he was there, they played better defense, and they took it to the better teams. And when he got hurt, they weren't the same team. He was so important, critical to this team. That's why they had to give him the deal. They had no choice. They had to give him the money.
Right, because he's not replaceable.
He's not replaceable.
You're not finding... You can find another...
Bridges is a guy that could replace it, but not to the same level as Anunoby.
Oh, I thought he was great. Why not?
No, he is. He's very good. I don't think he is top-notch defender, locked down like OG is. And before you interrupted there, it's what I say. Iheart is... It was so good for this team. I just want to lose my thought. He's so good for this team. But can you find someone else to do it?
You probably can.
Yes.
You probably can.
OG, you find someone else to do that. The elite 3-and-D guy. It's hard, man.
I don't disagree. It's just the idea. I think the risk reward of how many games he's going to play. By the way, next time I interrupt you, just give me the hold on. I'm trying to get the hold on from you that you give him.
I was forming my thought and you interrupted me. And I almost lost it.
So for those who don't understand, a little inside radio. Me and Tommy love this. When Tiki is going and we got him on on there and he wants to make his point, he throws his version of a football stiff arm at you and he does the air arm and he gives you the hold on and it's like our greatest honor to get the hold on. Said before to interrupt it. Give me the hold on.
We make bets back here. Me and Sean were like, all right, by 3:30, Evan's getting a hold on here. Over on there.
It was my goal to get a hold on in the first hour, and instead you gave me a stop for interrupting me.
One more thing on Anunoby, too. We talk about the defense. Also, offensively, the continuity with Brunson and with Julius. OG doesn't need the ball in his hands. That was the problem with R.J. Barrett. He needed the ball in his hands all the time. Anunoby could camp in the corner, knock down the three. So it's not just the defense. It's the continuity he has with the superstars that makes him so valuable to this team.
I 100% agree.
Eli in Brooklyn. Eli, what's up?
What up, Eli?
Sean, Tiki, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Eli?
So, Sean, you said the Knicks are going to regret letting Iheart walk out the door.
I do.
But you have to realize they did everything they can. I think that they understand the value that he brought to the team last year.
Well, did
they? But they weren't able to go over. They weren't able to go over 4-for-72. That was the most they were able to do, no matter who they signed.
That's exactly right.
Return them that money.
They were constrained. Their only hope, as Eli is pointing out, was Iheart was going to take less to stay, right? Be convinced. Hey, Iheart, we love you, man, but this is all we can give you. And then Oklahoma City comes in and says, all right, we'll give you 10 more.
It would have helped convincing him if you told him he could start at center, not Mitchell Robinson this year.
At the end of the day, nobody's turning down that money. So the question is this. The Knicks have an opportunity right now. We have a window. We have a window where we could legitimately go out and win a championship over the next 3-4 years. So what are we going to do at center? So our attention turns to Mitchell Robinson. When Mitchell Robinson does good, he's elite. He's 99th percentile. But when he does bad, isn't just a liability, it's a major liability.
Yep.
When he does good, he's a fantastic rebounder. Last year, even after he was out for 20 to 25 games, he was still the league leader in offensive rebounds. Fantastic over there. Number two, what he does great, he's an elite defender, although only in the right matchups. Let me explain. Where he's a liability, he's unswitchable defensively. If Mitchell Robinson switches on to a guard, it's an automatic foul or automatic bucket, which is something that Isaiah Hartenstein was not.
Yes.
Number two, he misses free throws. He cannot hit a free throw that's not somebody that you could have on the floor at close games. Tom Thibodeau always said, it's not about who starts the game, it's about who finishes the game. Mitchell Robinson is a liability on the floor in a close game with 2 minutes to go. And number three, and the most important thing, is his durability. He doesn't stay healthy. He doesn't stay on the floor. So the Knicks right now have a hole. They have a hole at center. They have to go out, and they have to bring in adequate, a legitimate backup. Now, Tibbs is great at developing bigs throughout his career, starting with Taj Gibson, Jakeem Noah. Look what Iheart's doing. Is Jericho Sims that guy? No. Jericho Sims, the guy has no offensive game. Jericho Sims is not going to be able to replace Isaiah Hartenstein. So what the plan is now, I don't know, but Leon Rose 100% has to go out, whether it's now, whether it's at the trade deadline, and he's got to replace Isaiah Hartenstein.
Right.
I don't disagree, Eli. And this is obviously the big turning stone, because you're going to get eaten alive by some of these teams like the Bucks and the Sixers in the paint in the playoff series as it stands right now. 888-808-1019. The Knicks lose Iheart. The Rangers gain a Smith. And OMG, the Mets really annoyed the Astros this week. And we'll continue to take your calls, reset that as well. It's Evan and Tiki here on The Fan.